Welcome to Technology and the Arts, a bi-weekly podcast exploring the connections between the worlds of technology and art. In this installment, we'll share some interesting news, websites, and online resources we've come across recently, including friendfeed.com, rememberthemilk.com, and freeldap.org. Plus, we'll discuss the recent Art All Night event in Trenton, New Jersey, Radiohead's innovative House of Cards music video, and The Googling, a series of Google-based comedy sketch videos by the Vacationeers. We'll talk about all of this and more just ahead on Technology and the Arts for Wednesday, July 16th, 2008. Now here are your hosts, Brian Kelly and John Lemazny.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of Technology and the Arts podcast. As always, Technology and the Arts seeks to explore the connections between technology and art and to establish a forum for discussing the impact technology has made on the human creative process and on literature, music, and the visual and interactive arts.
And to let you know who we are, my name is Brian Kelly. I'm a journalist by trade, amateur songwriter, musician, and science and technology enthusiast living in central New Jersey.
And my name is John Lemazny. I'm a husband, father, artist, designer, student, musician, poet, consultant, technologist, and open source evangelist living and working in New Jersey.
Yes, folks, after 2 months of solo podcasts, John Lemazny has returned to the Technology and the Arts podcast. John, it's great to have you back, and congratulations to you and Dawn on the birth of your second son.
Oh, thank you so much, Brian. It's a pleasure to be back.
Oh, you're welcome. And oh, thank you for coming back. These solo podcasts have been hell.
Well, you did a fantastic job. If it had been anybody else, I would have been worried.
Oh, thank you. Well, after all this time, I need to ask, what have you been up to lately?
Well, of course, as you mentioned, I did have the pleasure of meeting my second son, David. He's doing well. Everybody's doing very well. I am finally back at work. However, I just found out that I have Lyme disease.
Yikes!
That's right. Yikes, indeed.
When did this first start affecting you? I mean, when did you first start realizing something was wrong?
Well, I went to visit a friend of mine, which actually related to the one of the stories we're going to talk about, Trenton Art All Night. And his name is Rock, and I went to visit him in his home in Pennsylvania. He lives on a beautiful multi-acre tract, and we were sitting out in the middle of it for several hours one night, and I had a great time, came home, got a phone call from him about a week later saying that he had Lyme disease. And I said, no. I said, that's impossible. He said, yeah, I have Lyme disease, and you should check yourself, because we were, you know, out in the middle of the same area. And I said, oh, okay, you know, and I didn't really think too much of it. I thought, what are the chances, you know, two people getting Lyme disease in the same night. Next thing I know, I catch myself in the mirror, and on my hip is a bullseye.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and I probably wouldn't have thought too much about it, except that I heard from my friend that he got it. And so this was the weekend of the 4th of July, and so the doctor's offices were all closed. I went in on Monday, had some blood taken, and got a shot of an antibiotic, and then found out that the blood test is inconclusive because it was so quickly, it was only within 2 weeks, that I had discovered it, which is great because I didn't begin to encounter all of the issues that you normally would encounter with at the onset of Lyme disease. But within that couple of days, I all of a sudden couldn't walk. I couldn't move. I couldn't get up. I was sort of like bedridden. And then the antibiotic started to do its thing. And despite the blood test not really showing anything, we determined that I probably do have Lyme disease. And so they went ahead and gave me the full rounds of antibiotics, which I'm taking now. And it's 3 weeks of an antibiotic that's similar to Cipro, that has some pretty rotten side effects, but it's got to be better than the disease.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's awful. Sorry to hear that.
Well, but I mean, I caught it, and, you know, that's the great thing. So it could be worse. Could be much worse. You can end up with Bell's palsy, which means a paralysis of the face. You know, you can end up not being able to move your joints. So after these 3 weeks of antibiotics, I should be absolutely fine.
Well, that's good to know.
So aside from that, I've just been trying to catch up with email and catch up with my friends and get my thank yous together. I mean, since May 16th, when David was born, I mean, I really have just sort of fallen off the planet. And now I'm finally starting to get back in the swing of things. So I really appreciate your patience, and I appreciate everybody else's patience in letting me sort of get there. On my birthday, which is June 22nd, I went to the Rodin Museum and had, for the first time, and had a great time. Dawn and Jack and David took me out, and that was a lot of fun. Got some photos that I'll be putting up on my Picasa web. And also, I just wanted to say, you know, for all those months leading up to David's birth, I had all those presentations. And now I'm in a lull where I'm basically not presenting probably until sometime next year, which is a great relief. You know, it was a lot of fun while I did it. And, of course, it all culminated with a Petra Kucha night at Princeton Public Library. But I don't foresee any major presentations to the general public for quite some time. So I'm looking forward to that break and enjoying family time. So, with all that said, how about you, Brian?
Well, this past Sunday, I performed with my friend Christian Beach on a live webcast called Sunday Jams, and that's at www.sundayjams.info. And if you go to that site, you click on the link for the July 13th Christian Beach archive, and you can watch I think it was a 42-minute set that we did. But please watch the whole thing, but I only come on to play accordion and organ about 14 minutes into the set with the rest of the band. We had some issues with the sound. Some instruments were louder than they needed to be, in particular the organ that I was playing. But other than that, it was a really cool experience, and it's nice to have some decent quality video of a full set out there on the web. So I will embed the video into the show notes post. Thanks to VodPod, by the way, that little application they make that allows you to put non-YouTube videos in WordPress.com blogs is very handy. So I will embed the video there so you can watch it right in the show notes post. After the webcast was done, I drove from the studio, which was in Nutley, New Jersey. Actually, my day started out, I had to drive from Mercer County across the state for a morning rehearsal in Neptune, New Jersey, at the house of our drummer. And then we all went up to Nutley from there. And then after the show, after the webcast was over, I drove from the studio in Nutley down to Bordentown and then got on the light rail there and took a train down to Camden to see the final act of the 2008 Exponential Music Festival put on by the University of Pennsylvania radio station WXPN. I'd been to the festival each of the three previous days, seeing a ton of great acts like Blind Boys of Alabama, Dar Williams, Chuck Prophet, Alejandro Escovedo, Red Walls, Beth Orton, Nicole Atkins, Railroad Earth, Michael Franti and Spearhead, a bunch of artists, and there were so many more that I missed earlier in the day on Sunday, but I did get back in time to see the festival closer, and that was Joan Osborne, who was awesome. Just an incredible set. And that festival is just becoming something of a holiday to me. I just look forward to it every year, and it's really becoming a major part of my life. It's a really cool thing. And I put some photos up from the festival, and there'll be a link in the show notes for that. But that's about it on my end of things, John. For the first time in a while, I get to ask this. Is there anything related to technology and the arts you'd like to discuss this week?
Not really. No, I have a lot of stuff I want to talk about this time around. And the first thing I want to talk about is these services that have popped up and have sort of begun to take over. The first and foremost, and certainly the most popular, I mean, I've never seen a service take over the web like this one has. It's called FriendFeed. Have you heard of it, Brian?
I think I have, but I haven't really checked it out yet.
Well, what FriendFeed is the first and foremost, it's really a Twitter killer. And it really comes in the wake of Twitter not being able to really handle.
I thought Twitter was the Twitter killer.
Yeah, Twitter is the Twitter killer. Twitter's having some scaling issues where it's one of its most popular services, that is the ability to be notified and to notify Twitter via instant messaging, has really failed. I mean, very often I will get in my Meebo.com a message telling me that somebody has tweeted, somebody has updated their tweets, and I can then respond and be able to update my update my Twitter by just instant messaging back, and it's a really convenient thing. However, most of the time when I do that, it fails. It says, your message was not delivered, which means that Twitter essentially can't keep up. That's a problem, because it doesn't do a lot. all it basically does is this simple one thing, and that is to receive updates. If it can't receive updates, it's really useless to everybody. So FriendFeed has really swept in and has taken up the slack that Twitter has not done well with. And FriendFeed essentially allows me to subscribe to you. If you have a FriendFeed account, or if I have a FriendFeed account, you can subscribe to me the same way that you can with Twitter. I put up a message, and you're notified that I put up a message. It sends out emails every day, tells me all of my friend updates. Not only that, but it does something that Twitter does not do, and that is to aggregate several different sources into one source, a la Twitter. A la Tumblr. In the same way that I tell Tumblr to follow my YouTube account and follow my RSS feed from my blog and follow my blah, 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 FriendFeed does that. So I don't really need Tumblr anymore. And in fact, I'm asking you as of this podcast to stop following my Tumblr and start following my FriendFeed, because there's much more activity being followed and aggregated into my FriendFeed than ever was being followed by Tumblr. Because Tumblr limits it to essentially 6 feeds.
Right.
I don't like that anymore, because FriendFeed will give me as many feeds as I want. Plus, it has connections and relationships with lots of accounts. So, for example, Twitter, if I decide to keep my Twitter account, which I will, what does it matter? It's free. FriendFeed will aggregate anything I happen to do on my Twitter account, which is kind of nice. Anything that I rate on YouTube will automatically show up on my FriendFeed account. Any RSS feeds which I decide to tell FriendFeed to follow, it will automatically show updates from those RSS feeds. Anything I share on Google Reader will automatically show up on my FriendFeed account. Anything that I want to show updates for on Google Docs, for example, our script for Tech Arts, we could have an RSS feed come out from that showing updates, and I could have that go on to FriendFeed. Anything I upload to Flickr automatically will show up on FriendFeed. Anything that I post to any of my blogs, because of the RSS feeds for those blogs being automatically followed by FriendFeed, it will automatically show up there. Anything I upload to Picasa Web, in other words, the Picasa Web Albums, that is Google's photo service, will automatically show up on FriendFeed. You can also directly post to FriendFeed in the same way that you post to Tumblr. You can also directly, quickly just comment on any of your stuff that ends up on FriendFeed, or anything any of your friends happen to put up in the same exact way. My Tumblr account can be subsidized in FriendFeed. My Netflix activity shows up in Friend Feed. If I decide to add something to my queue, it automatically shows up on Friend Feed. You can subscribe to me on Friend Feed at friendfeed.com/Lenasby. And it is the way that all of my stuff shows up in one place. It is the
new one-stop shop for all things Lemazny.
It is the new one-stop shop for everything Lemazny. All of my blogs show up there. All of my videos show up there. All of my photos show up there. It is fantastic.
I'm not sure I want to visit that store, but...
Yes. Finally, I know that Brian is a big fan of iLike, and which essentially is like it's a plugin for the iTunes application that essentially when I play something, it shows me related stuff on the side, and it allows me to sort of find out about new stuff related to the artist that I'm listening to. That stuff shows up on Friend Feed too when I click on something and I like. So just an amazing application and completely free, limitless as far as I can tell.
I will have to sign up for an account.
When you do, please notify me of your Friend Feed account so that I can subscribe to you, because then I will be able to see what's going on in your life. Instead of me listening to the podcast to find out that you have video and audio and photos, I'll just happen to see them in your Friend Feed account.
I will do that.
Very good. Next, rememberthemilk.com. Are you a lister, Brian? Do you like to write lists?
No, Allison does.
Yeah, well, Allison is probably more productive than you are. And part of the reason that many believe is because of these lists, these getting things done lists, these to-do lists. Rememberthemilk.com is a Web 2.0 style to-do list where I can create several different lists. I can create a work list, a school list, a home list. I can make a honey-do list. I can prioritize these items on each list and say, I'm going to fix the squeaky door in my basement. I'll put that on my home list, or I could even make a basement list if it wanted to get that granular. I can add that, and I can say, I'm going to do that by Friday. I want that to be done by Friday. I will get reminders. I'll get an RSS feed. I'll be able to tag that with several tags, such as basement, home, fix it, honeydew, and it will send me an email basically every day telling me what it needs to be done in the next 24 hours.
Excellent.
Rememberthemilk.com. Art All Night, which I'm sure that you talked about in a previous podcast.
You know what? I didn't, because I wanted to wait for you to come back, since you were actually a part of Art All Night.
I was part of Art All Night, and I will be a part of all our Art All Night, Trenton, for as long as it goes for.
You know what? We had a show that Saturday night in Asbury Park.
You should have been doing your show at Art All Night because there was music there.
Well, it was part of the Wave Gathering Festival, which is the big Asbury Park multi-day festival, and Christian's, you know, part of that community. But,
since it goes on for 24 hours, I'm sure you could have done both.
Well, but it is across the state from each other. But
well, you have a car,
right?
I've been in your car.
Right.
I know that you have a car.
But we didn't play until about 11 o'clock, so.
So at any rate,
it would have been difficult. But anyway, I did tell Christian though. I told Christian about it, and it would be a cool thing to do next year. It's a very cool thing. But go ahead.
It's a very cool thing, and essentially it's in Central Trenton, right near the. What's it right near, Brian?
The Roebling Market.
Roebling Market, right. And it was a beautiful gathering for 24 hours centered around art and music and creativity. And it was an effort to rejuvenate Trenton, and I think they're succeeding. I mean...
It was awesome. I mean, it was a really cool thing.
It was beautiful, and everybody is allowed one piece in the show. In other words, you can have a four-year-old, and they could have scrawled on a piece of paper, and it gets in the show. No questions asked. You might be an accomplished artist, and I think of myself as an accomplished artist. I've done a lot as an artist, and I had one piece in there that I haven't been able to show in years, and I love that piece. And I expected my piece to have a lot more command in the show, and I was surprised at how little command it held. I was surprised at how easily you could walk by it because there was so much great art there. And I would recommend anybody with any sort of artistic intent to look for those little orange signs that were all over Mercer County. All over Mercer County.
Actually, they still are all over Mercer County.
Well, for the most part. But, I mean, you know, it was just a great show, a great effort. And anybody who is interested in creativity or celebrating art should participate next year. I plan to spend a lot more time there next year and really make an effort to stay there for as much time as possible and just make a day of it. You know?
Yeah, and I guess Artworks in Trenton, I guess, needs to get a plug. They're the ones who produce that, right?
That's right. But there were also a lot of artistic groups and endeavors sort of going towards that. But Artworks in Trenton definitely headed it. And I'm sure that there'll be a link to Art All Night in the show notes. Thank you, Brian. I did want to give a shout-out to my friend Rock, who, as I mentioned earlier, has Lyme disease. That has nothing to do with Art All Night. He had a piece in that show, too. It was really great because he and I used to collaborate quite a bit on artistic pieces, and he and I have made a pledge to not only do a piece of our own each, but also to do a collaborative piece each year. And I'm really looking forward to collaborating with Rock again. Again, that's Rock Pisarek, P-I-S-A-R-E-K, and his sort of art pseudonym is Rakrasukaiden, which is him, his wife, his cat, and his son, all in one name. I wanted to mention that I have been doing a lot of photography lately for beercritic.wordpress.com. Whenever I review beer on Beer Critic, I tend to take photos of the beer, the bottle, the label, the head, the body, etc. And I wanted to improve the photography that I had been doing for that. And one of the ways that I did that was to make a light box, which is essentially a light diffusing contraption. And you can spend hundreds of dollars to make to go and get one at a photo store, for example, or you can just use some tape and some tracing paper and some cardboard and make your own. And there are lots of light box do-it-yourself instruction sets online. But the photography on beercritic.wordpress.com hopefully has improved quite a bit because of my do-it-yourself light box, which, as I said, is basically a cardboard box with some holes cut into it and some tracing paper put between the light and the subject. So go ahead and do a Google search on Lightbox Do It Yourself, and I'm sure you'll find some interesting instructions.
By the way, on that same topic, although it was a very crappy picture taken with my cell phone, I don't know if you saw it a few weeks ago. We went out to Philly to the bars in Old City, starting out with Triumph, but we wound up at National Mechanics. And I had to get this beer, even though I thought I was done drinking for the night. I had to get this beer once I saw the name of it. Hoptimus Prime.
Yeah, I have that actually downstairs in my refrigerator right now.
Yeah, so I took a picture of that at National Mechanics on my cell phone and put it on my blog. But
I haven't tried it yet. How was it?
It was very hoppy. It was definitely hoppy.
It's supposed to be really bitter, but it's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be very well balanced.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if it's something I'd have again, but I am starting to get into those beers, though, a little bit. So.
Yeah, well, it's on my list of things to try very soon, so you'll have to take a look at my review on Beer Critic.
I will do that.
In the same respect, I decided to continue, because I feel like I've had some success with Beer Critic. I really like what's going on there. I decided to make a New Jersey dining review blog at njfood.wordpress.com. So far, I only have one review, and that is for a Vietnamese restaurant in Edison, New Jersey, up on Route 1. I showed up there basically by chance and had a pretty mixed bag as far as my experience there. I expected it to be a lot more exotic and a lot better. But as it was, it was my first foray into Vietnamese food, and generally speaking, I liked the idea of the food better than the food at that particular place. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and check out njfood.wordpress.com. I wanted to talk about the now basically famous Radiohead video that does not use lights or cameras, but rather simply lasers that essentially work like a radar in order to record the subject, in this case, Thom Yorke singing the song House of Cards. And you can actually, in the video, there is a recorded video that's an actual produced video, but you can go to code.google.com and do a search on Radiohead, and it will come up with House of Cards. And it's a data viewer where you can actually move Thom Yorke's head in real time as he's singing, which is pretty amazing. I mean, it takes about a half an hour to get there, but it's pretty amazing to do. I would recommend it for anybody who either likes Radiohead or likes new technology. It's a really cool technology. Next, I wanted to talk about the iPhone 3G. If I ever get the opportunity to get a new cell phone, it will be the iPhone 3G. I know it has its limitations, but it also has a lot of cool stuff on it. So I just wanted to give a nod to Apple for another great product. Despite the problems that they had with distribution and activation on the launch date, I just wanted to say thanks, Apple, for continuing to make innovative products. Next, I wanted to talk about Starbucks closings. It seems to be a lot of nothing in New Jersey. There's apparently one kiosk closing in all of New Jersey.
And oddly enough, I think I got coffee at that kiosk not too long ago, actually, when the Pike Place Roast came out. I think that was the first place I got it.
Get it while you can, because at that particular place, and where was it?
It was kiosk at Cherry Hill Mall.
Cherry Hill Mall, that's right.
That's the only one in New Jersey.
However, every other Starbucks in New Jersey, line out the door, as far as I can tell. I mean, I've not gone to an empty Starbucks in a very long time in New Jersey. We love our strong coffee, and we love Starbucks. So my wife will be very happy to hear that the one in Mercer Mall is not closing. I'm happy that none of the ones at Ryder are closing. You know, Starbucks is doing pretty well in New Jersey. I think the rejuvenation technique that they used, where they're reemphasizing the love of coffee, was a good move on Starbucks' part. I think they were getting away from their roots a little bit too much, but happy to hear that Starbucks in New Jersey will essentially go unaffected by the closings. And finally, for those of you who use email clients like Thunderbird and are looking for a great solution to keep all of your address book entries in a centralized place and accessible from something like Thunderbird, there is freelbap.org, where you can sign up for a free account and start to add your contacts to a centralized LDAP address book. And then you can tell Thunderbird to connect to freelbap.org with settings that are available at freelbap.org, and all of your address book entries will be available from anywhere as long as you're using an LDAP sensible client like Thunderbird. freelbap.org. So, Brian, that's all I have to offer this time around. How about you?
Well, I want to start out by talking about a couple of, actually it's more than a couple, but some internet videos that have popped up recently. First, I wasn't going to talk about this because I wasn't sure if you were going to bring it up, but I assume that you've seen the new or the most recent Improv Everywhere video, the human mirror on the subway.
No, the last one I saw was the musical in the mall.
Okay. Their latest one, they got 15 sets of twins in identical clothing, and they had them go in a New York City subway car and sat across from each other, and they all mimicked, you know, their movements. So people looking, like, further down the car, looking down at this car, looked like they were looking into a mirror. So There's a video of that. I'll put a link for that in the show notes. And then another comedy troupe. This one's more sketch comedy. The Vacationeers. I guess California-based. They've done a series of videos called The Googling. And it's all based around paranormal and strange goings-on with Google services like Google Maps, Google Earth, Sky, Moon, and SMS. So it's pretty funny stuff. It really makes light of the whole Google phenomenon, but in a good way. Next, I want to talk about Live from Daryl's House, which basically is exactly what it says on the tin. It's a live music webcast, similar to what we did on Sunday Jams with Christian Beach. It's being produced by the one and only Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates fame, and the show takes place out of one of Daryl's houses. He has homes in upstate New York, Maine, the Bahamas, and London. So he has this setup where he does these live music webcasts out of his house. The first one debuted back in November with longtime collaborator T-Bone Woke. And then he's had John Oates as a guest for a holiday special, Travis McCoy of Gym Class Heroes. And I believe KT Tunstall was the most recent one. Actually, there may have been one since then. He did one from Austin. He was in Austin, Texas, and they actually built the set where they recorded the webcast. But if you want to check that out, that is at www.livefromdarylshouse.com. And finally, I want to mention a museum of modern art that currently exists on the moon.
Of course it does.
It does, technically. This story's been floating around since 1969, but I just read about it, and I thought I would share it here. Apparently, during preparations for Apollo 12, during 1969, an unnamed NASA engineer conspired with artist Forrest Frosty Myers with a plan to spread art into space. The engineer attached a very small iridium-plated ceramic wafer measuring just 3/4 inches by 1/2 inch by 1/40 inch, that included miniaturized reproductions of artworks to a hatch on the leg of the Intrepid landing module while it was at Bell Laboratories. That part of the lander was left behind on the moon when the astronauts returned to Earth. The artists whose works were included on the wafer included Myers, David Navros, Claus Oldenburg, John Chamberlain, Robert Rauschenberg, and Andy Warhol, although Andy Warhol apparently drew a penis for his contribution to the wafer. But that actually is still on the moon. So if you want to read about it, you can click on the links in the show notes. But it is finally time for the Technology in the Arts events calendar. Here is your Technology and the Arts events calendar. Digital Graffiti at Alice Beach, Florida is a festival created to celebrate and promote the world's most talented and innovative digital artists, with the entire town literally serving as their canvas. Through urban projection, artists will use the latest technologies to project their unique works onto the white walls of Alice Beach, Florida, a new resort town off Scenic Highway 30A on the Gulf of Mexico. The 2008 festival will be held during Labor Day weekend on the evening of Saturday, August 30th. For more information, visit www.digitalgraffiti.info. The Evansville Museum in Evansville, Indiana presents Real Robotics through July 27th, 2008. A longtime staple of science fiction, robots also work behind the scenes in many industries where they may be used to assemble automobiles, count pills in a pharmaceutical plant, or wrap and bundle freight in a distribution center. This exhibition demonstrates the range of robotics technology available today. Guests can interact with 4 robotic pets, challenge a robot to a game of tic-tac-toe, or explore the surface of an alien planet with the Planetary Probe robot. For more information,
visit www.emuseum.org. The Experience Music Project and Science Fiction Museum and Hall of Fame in Seattle, Washington presents Robots, a designer's collection of miniature mechanical marvels, running now through October 26, 2008. This exhibition celebrates the long fascination with humankind's technological version of itself. Inspired by antique tin and wooden toys, samurai warriors, and mid-20th century Japanese film characters, these intricately detailed and beautifully designed miniatures are set against the venue's backdrop of life-size robots, androids, and cyborgs from the world of science fiction film and television. For more information, visit www.epmsfm.org. To stay informed about these and other events related to technology and the arts, please remember to check out the Technology and the Arts events page at techarts.wordpress.com. Well, it looks like we are just about at the end of another Technology and the Arts podcast. Through the magic of digital editing... Oh, wait, that's right. He's here. Here is John Lemazzi with a reminder to our listeners.
Well, as always, I'd like to say to our listeners that if they have an idea for a story or know about a show or event related to technology and art, to let us know about it by emailing us at technology.arts@gmail.com. Also, feel free to send an email just to say hi. And you're always welcome to leave a comment on the Technology and the Arts blog at techarts.wordpress.com.
That closes the curtain on another Technology and the Arts podcast. Stay tuned for our next show on Wednesday, July 30th, 2008. Until then, for Technology and the Arts, this is Brian Kelly.
And this is John Lemazzi. Take care.
The views expressed by the hosts of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily those of guests of the program. Conversely, thoughts and opinions expressed by guests of Technology and the Arts are not necessarily shared by the hosts. For more information about the podcast you have just heard, please visit Technology and the Arts on the web at techarts.wordpress.com.